Boom. So, man, oh man, oh man, it has been a interesting summer, for the most part. Man, it has been a, I would say, it's been a while since I actually did a podcast, or updated this podcast. And so, Stuck in Augmented Reality, I changed the name of it and I changed the direction of it. In the middle of the pandemic, essentially, or like once the pandemic started. So back March or April, it's like March or April 2020. And so that was pretty much a year and a half ago. And honestly, like as I'm reflecting back on it, that was probably one of the better decisions that I've made during that time. Obviously, some of the other decisions that I tried to make was I tried to learn breakdancing. I also tried to play more video games, and I tried to do all these other things. I tried to learn Blender. I tried to do a whole bunch of different things, but the one thing that really stood out was I saw that there was a void in, I wouldn't say representation in the emerging tech space, particularly with AR and VR, or just XR in general. And I was like, okay, there's a bunch of people that I follow. There seems like a good sort of like influencer base that's international, and but there weren't any people of color. There weren't any like black people in particular. And so as I was looking at it, there's a lot of projects coming out. There's video games, new applications. Unity is picking up. Unreal's starting to do more stuff. And I was just like, where's the black people at? Like, where's the black people at? And so as I was trying to learn Blender and I was trying to do these things, I also had this idea for a comic. And during this journey, I started essentially live streaming more. And I was live streaming just my process of just trying to learn Blender. So I just got a course off of Udemy and I was just recording myself, just watching it and learning, and hopefully just in a public platform other people could learn as I was learning. And I thought just that level of transparency was valuable because you would often get that opportunity in school, or you get that opportunity if you're working as like a new person on a job. And so just a 2-3 hour stream of going through some courses and stuff like, and being out there like that, it felt like it was a way to get connected. And so from there, I was like, okay, live streaming is cool. What if I, sort of share my insights as I from the things that I learn on a podcast? I already had a podcast, but it was me just sort of just playing around, just figuring out what the platform was. So I had it for a couple years, but I found that with this sort of open platform, with the expertise that I had, right? Like at this point, I was an animator for 7 years, had a whole bunch of stuff in, I had stuff in theaters, had stuff on HBO, Hulu, I had some credits to my name, right? And even though it didn't feel like I was, I don't have like a Wikipedia page or whatever, but like it felt like I had some stuff to offer. And when you start to lose things like people were, like I was losing, or just like people in general during the pandemic, not because things were being taken from you, but just the opportunities were not available. And when the opportunities are not available, you got to figure stuff out. And so I was like, the feeling that I have about how I have stuff to offer, but I don't know what the opportunities are, being able to share and sort of build a community to create opportunities. That led me to this just idea of like, okay, I see that there's a vision, there's a potential for black creators in the AR space in particular, or just XR in general. There's a space for black creators. And that space does have to be carved out and it has to be manifested, but there's an opportunity and there's a space to exist that you don't have to ask permission for. And with that, I sort of started to explore it before the pandemic with AR and with my web comic that essentially my AR app that I was developing for my web comic. And as I started to get closer to an answer of what that looked like for me, I started to see what it could look like for other people. And that became really, really interesting because I ended up having an opportunity to do an AR project for a magazine, and it was a black-owned magazine. And I just had this vision of seeing like what would AR look like from a unapologetically black perspective. And I sort of took on that project and developed it from the ground up just to manifest that vision for a client essentially that didn't even know what AR was. And so I think it was something that I was really fortunate to do. But that led me down this, ultimately led me down this path of really exploring the idea of how do you be innovative and also sort of propel the culture forward? How do you create and pursue ideas without losing your identity? And I think that that's always something that Black creators have to develop and manifest or reckon with. I always think about like, we know the point, or we know the album where we lost Kanye, essentially, right? Like he became a Kardashian at some point, and his music wasn't the same. His sort of outward expression wasn't the same. Like in many ways, as a Kanye fan, I feel like there became a point where he began to innovate, and he also began to lose his, lose his identity as a black creator. And he sort of took this helm as, a mo I won't even say a mogul, but just a creator. He's an artist, right? And I think that says, for me, it says something that I have difficulty reckoning with, partly because I have this sort of disdain and d despise for the Kardashians, because of a lot of glaring problematic things that they do. But it's that in order to sort of grow and innovate as a black artist, you have to lose the black. And that part of that, just the way it ends up, it rubs me the wrong way. And so I say all that to say that like I set out on this journey, and I ultimately said like, okay, with this podcast and the things that I want to do with the podcast, I want to use this as a platform to sort of explore my ideas and create a space for myself that allows me to be creative, that I could control, that is not going to get, sort of, that is not going to lose opportunities because of the pandemic, and also grow as, I start to grow as a developer. And so in many ways, it was just a personal diary for me that I'm able to share with people and be vulnerable in many ways, right? It was just like, I'm not making money off of this and all this stuff, but like, I think that information and direction, with technology that is often free, is very valuable, right? You could download a piece of software off the internet for free. You don't have to pay for it, with an asterisk, right? If you start making money, you can pay for it, but just out of the gate, you don't have to pay for it. And you have YouTube University, and you don't have to pay for that. And you just had the time, and so you're really paying with your time. But time is invaluable and valuable at the same time, right? And so with that, it's just there's to get insights that you would often pay a consultant hundreds of thousands of dollars for. You could find that on a podcast, or somebody could share that with you and build a community just to find support. And for me, I decided to myself, I was like, okay, I want to be the black AR guy, not because I'm, a black guy that does AR stuff, but it was because there it says something for a black person to innovate and be an artist and be a creator and also be vulnerable and also be a thought leader. And so just exploring that dichotomy and sort of manifesting that within myself and putting it out there, it's something that I just wanted to see what would happen. Because, health disparities exist, all these different things that are happening, especially now, a lot of sort of like black celebrities that, we grew up on, from AJ Johnson to DMX to, Michael K. Williams, right? Like the people are, things are happening. And it's black people that are sort of experiencing and falling to these things. And so it's like, how do you sort of balance that with, black artists and creators that are, sort of thinking about the future, despite that looming reality that that future may be, more contemporary than futuristic. And so yeah, it's definitely been a journey. It's definitely been a fun-filled experience since I decided to be the black AR guy on YouTube and make a podcast out of it. A lot of growth. And it's crazy that it's been like, I posted a pod, the last time I updated this podcast or did an episode was like in March, or not March, but May. And I feel like that May was a whole different life, like life for me than, where I'm at now. And so, for those that have been keeping up with things, obviously you're probably seeing all the courses and stuff that I'm posting on social media and stuff like that. But really, now I've sort of shifted, not to a new direction, but I feel like I've evolved in the direction that I set out to go on back in March. And so the goal, like one of the goals, was just really, as I learn, I want to share and essentially transmit information that I've found and I've experienced to people just on the internet and be available in that capacity to hopefully inspire people to just take on that journey themselves, And whether you're an artist yourself, a developer, the goal was to just be a resource for people. And just by just the way of I've been raised and the experiences that I've had, just as a football player playing in, Division One college football, being an animator, being a student, being a black person, somebody that just like enjoys, culture and community, being a Portlander, like those things all matter to me, and they were influential in, how I got to my point. And so it's like from there, right? I got invited to speak at the Wall Street Journal Future of Everything Festival. That was an amazing opportunity. Mainly because it was like I got to share, the stage, albeit virtual, right? Like I got to share the stage and have, a 20-minute, pretty much like profile interview sort of experience where I got to share my work with the Wall Street Journal and that whole platform. And the crazy thing about it was like, the day that I went like a little bit after the former Surgeon General of the United States. And then right after me was Paris Hilton. And it was just like, what? Then Gabrielle Union went and Dwyane Wade, like they went after. And it was just like, what did I get myself into? Like, I'm over here just posting stuff on Twitter and making YouTube videos. And, that's being able to see the impact of that stuff in that moment was definitely a humbling experience, 'cause, for those that are creators that that sort of make YouTube videos or post stuff on social media and stuff like that. Because mind you, I don't have a PR team. I just come up with ideas. I have a great assistant and stuff like that. But like, I just come up with ideas and I just try to share it with people. And I just, and it's fun to me. I mean, like, this is what I know, right? And so to see that, like, people all the way in New York or all the way, in India or some other place, is seeing that of value. I just thought that was, that was just really, it just made me feel good. And for people that, like, know what it's like to be an athlete and to sort of try to find your identity after you finish playing football and or like any sort of college sport, any sport, professional sport, that idea of identity and crisis and who are you, like what defines you now, like this, that was a moment where I really felt like my, I wasn't defined by, the stuff that I was able to do physically, and it was actually just ideas that I came up with. And so my mind really manifested these opportunities, and to just think that like that was just a byproduct of just an idea of I just wanted to create something that allowed me to express myself as a black person that loves technology and loves, the idea of innovation. It just felt, like it mattered. And I think that goes beyond like any amount of money that like I possibly was trying to go after at that point. Albeit it did take a while, right? Like from when I started May 2020 or March 2020 to the Wall Street Journal Future of Everything Festival, which was May 2021. I mean, like there's a lot of time, and there are many times where I was like, what the heck am I doing here? I'm just making stuff and just putting it out. But to see that, in a year, a little over a year, that stuff turned into something that I couldn't even have imagined. It's a, you know, I'm it's definitely humbling, and I think it's motivating me. Like it's just continued to motivate me to just see what else is possible, because it's like if this is possible, no telling what else is possible, right? Like it's crazy, and so the Future of Everything Festival happened. And then, as I was doing that, I was also teaching at Portland Community College, where I was building out a lot of the immersive tech curriculum that they were doing. So I was working with students. I was sharing some of the stuff that I was sharing on podcast. I was actually sharing and teaching students about teaching AR comics classes. I got to connect with a lot of great people. It was great. And so from there, I was teaching. And I'm still teaching. I'll be teaching a class in the wintertime, which would be cool. But I also decided to develop a whole core curriculum that is at the intersections of, black identity, content creation, just being an artist, being an activist, and being a technologist. And saying, what does it look like to create innovative projects that allow you to build your portfolio, develop the skills that will prepare you for this XR revolution that will be coming, and also, give you something cool that you can share with your friends, like, and be expressive about. And so, with it, because from my experience as a XR creator, an AR creator, the reason I continued to create and see what was possible was because I felt like, out of all the years of me creating, like at this point, I've been an artist for the past 10 years. Out of all the years of me creating, when I got introduced to XR, it felt like I didn't need to compromise on the decisions of things I wanted to make. If I was creating, if I was making a comic, I had to compromise with the fact that I couldn't animate in a comic form. I couldn't have sound effects. I couldn't have these crazy explosions, because they would all be still images. And I also had to determine if I wanted to have color printing, like, because color printing is freaking expensive. Like, it's really expensive. And so it's like I had to do black and white pages because that's all I could afford. Could only have a certain page count. Paper is only so big, and you could only you had to you could you had to choose what images you were going to draw. You couldn't draw all the images and have them play in front of people, right? And so when I created my AR comic and just demoed it out, I was able to record the voices. I had sound effects. I had animation in it. I had color, all those different things. And then on top of that, I could still have my like illustrated pages. And then I was just layering stuff on it. It just became this never-ending thing. And to take things to the next level, I actually had interactions in it to where people could press buttons on the page and unlock different things from it. And so I was like, dude, like this is crazy, right? Like this is way better than a web comic. This is way better than like it was crazy. And so from there, it just felt like there was so many limitless opportunity possibilities, and I just wanted to explore all of them. And as I found sort of a direction or possibilities and answers, I just wanted to share those with people so that people saw the vision and saw what you could do with it. And ultimately, it was just like I want to explore it so that I could other ex inspire other people to explore it and see what else they could come up with. You know, because I don't have all the answers. You know, I just like animation and explosions, right? And I like cool music, and I want to just make cool comics, right? But there's other people that will have other grand ideas, and you know, I just want to show people what is possible so that they could come up with their own ideas themselves. And if they like comics, cool. If they come up with something else, even better, you know, because I want to be inspired too. You know, I don't want to just be running the show. I want to, you know, I want to sort of have a community so that I'd be like, oh man, they're doing something cool. I want to do that now. Like, boom, right? Like it's a healthy level of creativity and competition that, you know, only makes things better. And if black people are involved and black people are doing well with it, then even better, you know, because then we're always going to have a things are always going to get things are always going to, you know, feel safe and helpful and healthy for me to continue being a creator in the space. And I think that's important to me. And so from there, I ended up making like 16 courses over like the from January till, you know, June or whatever. And those 16 courses span from making augmented reality playing cards to world building to social activism to making AR mazes, making little AR picture frames and portals, and essentially taking all the things that I was sort of quote unquote innovating or exploring with my comic and turning those into courses. And just really from the mindset of, you know, if I'm able to make something that people are willing to buy, then yeah, you could buy it and that's great, but I'm really interested in making things that not only you're able to buy, but you're able to learn how to make. And then you can make stuff that other people can buy too. It really is just sort of like this community-based economy where, you know, the value to me is not the products themselves, but what those products represent. Those products represent a gateway to a new way of thinking and a new skill level that will continue to have more value in, right? Like, 'cause me as an AR developer, and I felt like I was able to make a living doing things that I didn't think were possible, or I didn't think I could charge the amount of money for that I was able to do. And so the stuff that I was making for clients, in order to get those skills, you have to have a certain level of approach, and not a lot of people have that. So it just makes you really competitive in the job market. And so when you're working with clients that have budgets and you're a good person to work with, people will pay you what you are worth. And me getting a glimpse of that as a black creator that doesn't have hundreds of thousands of followers and stuff like that, and to say like, okay, the stuff that I do has value and people see that and people will support you in that, so that you're not trying to pinch pennies together to get top ramen noodles during a pandemic. Like that messes it, you know, it was something I was like, man, you know, other creators need to experience this, and other creators, you know, can take things that they've been working on, and they could shift it just with, just adding a new thing to it, just adding technology to it. I mean, we all use our phones and we all use this, use our devices. And so how do you utilize those devices to help you go down this pathway of being a successful creator that inspires people? And you just pay it forward. I mean, like that's been an interesting thing for me. And so like as I sort of like finished all this stuff, right? And then obviously like the looming thing that is always a shocker for people is I got into medical school. And I started medical school probably like a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago. Yeah, I started medical school like almost 2 months ago. And that's been a very humbling experience too. As I like, started medical school, it also meant I had to move from Portland to Reno. And so having to leave Portland and sort of this community that I've built to go to move to Reno, a place that I've never lived at. I've been a couple of times, but like moving to a new state and stuff, it's definitely, I mean, Reno is definitely not Portland. And with all the fires and everything, I was definitely feeling all that stuff because I was moving closer to fires. I was also moving closer to my family. And so instead of being a 9 hour drive away, I was a 2.5 hour drive away. So I guess I definitely appreciate that. But being in medical school, it's a whole nother beast. It going from emerging tech and being an entrepreneur and sort of dealing with, rebounding and trying to figure out COVID to teaching, to doing the Wall Street Journal thing, then to starting medical school. It's like each one of those things has been an adjustment that you have to adapt to. Medical school has been this adjustment that I'm still trying to adapt to, like 2 months later. I'm still trying to adapt to day one. Like I feel like day one is just getting longer and longer and longer. I'm like, dang, like what is going on here? Because it's just a different way of like education and school and stuff. And so it obviously is really time consuming, and it has made me not question my decisions for other things, but it's made me see where my convictions lie with my interest as a creator and my interest as being an academic, and also my interest in being, in many ways, somebody that wants to continue inspiring and pushing myself. Because the looming thing about it is when you look at all the stuff that I've sort of put out, it doesn't necessarily say medical school, but then, I mean, the fact is that like I'm in medical school. And so it's like, how do I balance my interest in of wanting to be a physician with my interest of continuing to be an artist and I guess a thought leader, like mini influencer dude, the black AR guy. How do I continue to be the black AR guy and be a medical student during a pandemic with all these different things? And it's been a journey, partly because I'm like the only artist in my class of 70, but I'm also one of four black students in a class of 70. And I feel that, I mean, I feel that a lot, mainly because when we're talking about health disparities, you instantly start to think about, Black Lives Matter and, how black people are disproportionately being affected by COVID compared to other populations. And you talk about, sort of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments and, healthcare hesitancy and all that stuff. And then you look around and you see that, you're like the only person in the room that represents that population. And you also realize that in the state you're one of the only people that actually had that opportunity to be a representative for that. And it comes with a layer of responsibility that it in some ways it's it can be debilitating sometimes, where you get stuck. You're like, oh crap, I have to do right by my people by doing well, and I can't mess up. I can't do these things. And so in many ways, being the black AR guy, sometimes feels like it's a distraction from the stuff that I'm trying to do for the people that I care about. And it's just a dynamic that I guess I'm just kind of just trying to work with, because the reason I decided to go into XR is to represent and to inspire and to help people. And the reason I got into decided to go to medical school was because I wanted to inspire and, bring hope, heal people, and help people. There's a lot of overlap with those things, and I want to teach people, right? And I could do that as a developer, and an educator, and I could do that as a physician. And so when people say like, "Oh yeah, I don't see how those two sort of overlap," it's like for me, it's like that's just a, it's just another, it's another pathway for the same things that I continue to want to do. To me, it's, I like playing video games, and I like science, and I like comics, and I like art and entertainment, and I also like, helping people and giving people information that they need to live healthier lives, right? Like, I was a personal trainer, I was a STEM tutor, and I was a comic book illustrator all at the same time. And so why can't I do both? Why can't I do both? Why can't I do all of it? And so I guess the thing is, like, how do I continue to do both, with the expectations that come with, obviously medical school, right? Like, medical school is sort of like a full-time job, plus you got to study 10 to 12 hours a day, right? And so, and that stuff, in order for me to get to the level that I was at in a short amount of time as an AR developer, I was waking up at 6 a.m. and I was, finishing up at 11 p.m. So I was putting in the time, and so then it's just a matter of just, having that focus, and so just finding ways to balance it out. It's going to be a journey, and that's something that, like, to balance the stress out, I think that's just something I'll just continue to just speak about, because I don't know if there are any black AR developers that are in medical school. Like, I don't know if there's a community of people that actually, like, know exactly what it's like to be an emerging tech and own a company and sort of innovate in these ways, and then also are trying to learn foundations of, being a physician and being influential in healthcare, or being a participant in healthcare. I just don't know if those things are there. And, like, the funny part about it is, like, when I tell people, like, "Oh yeah, I'm an AR developer and all that stuff, and I'm getting ready to start medical school," they're like, "Why are you doing that? You can make more money in XR." It's like, well, if I was going after the money, I probably would be doing a whole bunch of other stuff too. Like, it's I'm I just took out $100,000 in debt just to go to medical school, and that's just a start, and I'm devoting, what, probably the next 10 years of my life, like, to working in hospitals and learning how to care for people. I think that there's a level of humility and honor that comes with that. And, if I could find ways to incorporate my XR stuff, into things that are, that make people's lives better in those situations where they're the most vulnerable, I think that's a privilege that I get to explore, that no others don't get to explore. And so, for me, it's like, I'm always wondering, like, not whether I should do it, but, like, what does it look like for this to actually just be a thing? Like, what does it look like for somebody to come into an office, and as they're getting treatment, they get to go on a journey of what that treatment looks like through AR, VR, or just XR in general? What if they get, what if before somebody's surgery, they can download an app and see what that procedure actually looks like, and see how the procedure works from through animation and AR right in your living room, right? Like, what if you get to explore your body and you get to learn more about yourself through this experience that can often be traumatizing? Because we're seeing with COVID is that we're learning more about the institution of healthcare, and we're learning more about how the body works through trying to get over COVID. You know, at the end of this, like, more people will know about virology because of COVID than any moment in their life. You know, they're learning more about science than they ever did in school. And I think because of this, because of these experiences become very influential experiences in our lives. And I think that it's an opportunity that we can really, really play on, right? And so we'll see how it goes. I have this because of medical school, we have presentations all the time and stuff like that. So my next presentation is I want to try to see what it looks like to have an AR presentation in medical school, and hopefully I'll live to show what happens with that. So definitely stay tuned on that one. But you know, from there it's just like, yeah, I made a whole bunch of courses. Those are available, so tap in and obviously like support your boy, because I could use I could use the funds to pay for all these, you know, medical school bills at this point. But those stuff are available, and you know, I'm just glad to just have stuff out there, because I didn't see that stuff when I got into it. And so I wanted to change that by creating pathways for people to explore. 'Cause I don't know if you know, but some of these intro to AR things, they'll be like, oh yeah, this is really easy to get into. And then they just start talking some nonsense, like straight out the gate. And you'd be like, I can't keep up. I wanted to make some cool stuff, but I can't make cool stuff if I gotta follow that. 'Cause I can't, it just doesn't work for me. It's inaccessible. And that's how I felt. And I just sort of muscled through it, but I was like, this is something that I could change. I could make it a lot easier, and I could make it a lot more accessible. And I mean, I just spent the time doing it, and I just put it out there to share. And so, if people, you know, have told me just based off of Skillshare stuff and just reaching out to me that they appreciate it, and I, you know, that just makes it, it makes it all worth it. Because it's like it, you know, if it was up to me, you know, I would just do this all day, and I was, you know, at some point, but you know, obviously obligations and stuff like that. But yeah, I j it just it feels like the stuff that I've been able to do has helped people, and that makes me feel good. And so because of all that stuff, right? Obviously, you know, like people know that like I'm big on Unity. Unity has using Unity has definitely changed my life in a good way. I was part of the you know, Unity for Humanity Summit. I've done some stuff with Unity, and I like do a lot of AR development using Unity. And so they gave me the opportunity to become a Unity certified instructor. And so because of all the stuff that I've been doing, and that was really that was a great journey to go on. Pretty much did all that stuff before I started medical school. So pretty much into June, mid-June to like mid-July, I spent pretty much a month studying for the Unity certification test as a 3D artist, and ended up passing that. And because I'm already a college instructor with the certification and features and stuff like that, right? By this time, I was already did the Wall Street Journal thing. They presented me with the opportunity to be a Unity certified instructor. And so now I'm a Unity certified 3D artist and a certified instructor. And I got to, and I definitely learned a whole lot more about, you know, the powers of the platform just by getting the certification or studying for that test. I definitely feel a whole lot better about lighting. Oh my gosh, like a lot of my old projects, they were not optimized, and now I know exactly what to do to fix those things. But it with the reason I ended up like going down this path was because I ended up talking to the VP of Unity, and we were talking, and she was like, "Hey, I hear you're starting medical school and you're doing all these things, like, how is this working?" I was like, "I don't know. I'm just trying to, find ways to pay for medical school." And she was like, "Well, to be honest with you, like, there may be, we have a like this certified instructor program that you may be interested in if you want, that can help you, help you, pay for some of that stuff by utilizing the knowledge that you have." And so, if you get certified, I mean, like, throughout medical school, you could take on different projects for clients and make a pretty decent amount of money, and get Unity support for some stuff to help with it, because we appreciate the things that you're doing and we just think it's just really cool. So I was like, "Oh snap, I didn't even know that was possible, but I'll take it. This is great." Like, VP of Unity, a freaking, billion-dollar company. That I it's like saying that, the VP of Microsoft is like, "Hey, how about you, like, if you want to do some stuff with us and, you could pay for things?" It's like, "Yes, we'll definitely do that." It's like, "What? It's crazy." And so yeah, it's just been a very interesting year and a half, and a really interesting past 6 months since I like made an update, because certified instructor doing that. I worked on a NFT project right after I got my certification. I got a mocap suit, and so I worked on this project called Aku, Aku's World, which has been blowing up on within the NFT space. And so I got to do that. Got to do a lot of animation stuff using Unity. So like as an instructor, I was helping people out, troubleshooting stuff with Unity and all that. And then I got invited to speak at the Augmented World Expo, about the stuff that I was doing for with my sort of like Portland experiment with the George Floyd thing, and how I created the courses and got grants for it and all that stuff. It's been just a really interesting, it's been a really interesting journey from where I started to how I got here now. And with all the stresses of medical school and moving and trying to figure out how to pay bills and, figuring out what I'm doing, this is something that, I'm very fortunate of being in this position to speak about it. I think I'm, one, I want to see more black people in the space, but I just want to see more people inspired, to think that they can create something out of nothing. And have an impact on people's lives, that doesn't have to be sports related, or that doesn't have to be, focused on going viral. It's just all about, sharing and pushing people to be, to use the things around them to be better and create a better world. And so, with that, it's like one of the things that I'm gonna start doing more is, one, being more consistent. And so I feel like I'd be having, I'll be, 1 week I'll drop freaking 16 videos or 16 podcasts. The next week I'll, or the next like 6 months I'll drop nothing, and so what I've been told, because I have a therapist, and going to therapy and all that stuff is great for your mental health, and it's something that should be normalized. But what my therapist has been telling me is that, going through medical school is a very, it's a hard and difficult process. And it's difficult because it's meant to be difficult. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But with that, you have to take care of yourself. And for you as a creator, he was like, you have to create. And so even if I don't have 20 hours to work on a project, I have an hour or so out of my day, out of my week, that I could reflect on projects, and I could reflect on and share stuff that I've learned. And so with this project or with this podcast, because it's gone beyond just a project, with this platform, I want to continue building it because, as people get more and more involved with my work or introduced to my work, I'm going to get more features, going to get more, sort of speaking engagements and stuff like that, just in the position that I'm in now. And for that, I think it's I owe it to people that have invested time and energy into my journey to continue finding ways to inspire them that's a little more consistent. And so for me, this will continue to be my creative outlet. I need a creative outlet. This will be my creative outlet that I'll continue to sort of build on. But it'll be, I wouldn't even say like more structured. I just think it'll be, I just want to continue it. And so for that, if you have any props, any sort of ideas or questions, obviously hit me up on all the social nets and all that stuff. And just ask it to me, and those could, it'll give me ideas and things to talk about every week. Whether it's my new projects that I'm working on, current projects, ideas that I see going, things that happen, right? Like Facebook just released their new AR glasses that they were talking about, and Snapchat has their new AR glasses. What is that, what would that stuff look like? What is that stuff going to look like? How would you use that stuff? Like, what are my thoughts on it? Like, how would I incorporate that into like my work to inspire others to utilize that in their work? I did a COVID AR project with using Facebook's Spark AR, and so I made a whole bunch of filters for a nonprofit called Self Enhancement Incorporated, and it was great. I mean, I got to work with some great people, got to explore, areas of public health using the arts. Me as a medical student being able to promote, essentially vaccinations and why you should, take care of yourself during COVID and what is actually happening and how you could actually understand these things better through the arts and comics and AR, and music and all that stuff. I think it was just a good opportunity to create something like that. And so that I'll definitely be talking about that more and just diving deep into what that was later on as things continue to slow down. And then ultimately just creating an environment that people or at least creating a resource for people to go to and have access to on YouTube or whatever that just really feels feels inspiring. Inspiring not because, you go to this and you learn how to make something, right? But inspiring in terms of like, what does it look like to just be unapologetic about, just who you are, and then also explore these sort of whimsical random ideas that may be worth $100,000 in the next 5, 10 years, And I would say like the reason I say that isn't because of like, oh yeah, you're doing this because you're going to make a lot of money and you're investing in it. It's because, we live in a capitalistic society, and if something is worth that much money in society, it's very, very valuable. And people will treat it with the value and the respect that it deserves. And often as a black, because I could speak as a black creator and an artist, you often don't know what the value is of the things that you do. And often there are people that tell you that it doesn't have value. And so to be able to do things that have such a high value in society, it encourages you to want to do more of that. And so, we sort of see these waves of, oh, we need to get more people into coding and all these different things, right? Well, yeah, we need to get more people into developing because technology is the future. But that doesn't mean that you need to deviate from the arts. That doesn't mean you need to deviate away from culture. It doesn't mean you need to deviate away from the things that you're currently doing. You just need to progress with the technology. As the technology matures, so will you. And so everybody that, used to play just traditional instruments, at some point they started playing electric instruments and they started learning how to produce and they started learning how to do videos because that's the technology was more accessible when it progressed, right? We wouldn't have Soulja Boy and we wouldn't have freaking Chance the Rapper. We wouldn't have Kanye West. We wouldn't have all these influential artists. Like I was listening to The Breakfast Club with Kehlani. During the pandemic, she was like, crap, I'm getting ready to drop an album and I need to do videos and it's a pandemic, so I'm gonna just get some cameras and watch some YouTube videos and learn the technology as an artist so that I could do my art and make it better and make it accessible. And that's pretty much what it is, right? Like, I was fortunate enough to sort of grow up in the golden age of SoundCloud artists. I was on SoundCloud before Spotify, there was SoundCloud. That's where you saw all the gems, right? Like, that's where you saw all the gems. And now those people that, Lil Uzi Vert, right? Like the whole hip hop trap era, like electronic trap, like all that stuff was on SoundCloud. Now it's sort of, heavy hitters that are the soundtracks for all the famous TikToks, right? Like it's like technology is so much a part of us that as we accept it and integrate it into the things that we do, it's supposed to make things better. But often the barrier of entry to control or, incorporate technology has always been very, very high, but now it's a lot more accessible. And I just want to inspire people to take advantage of how accessible it is and how free it is. You just need a computer. At this point, we all got computers. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to participate in society. And so, as we continue to do that, we want to, I just want to inspire people to continue pushing that envelope. And so, it's interesting. And one of the things I'm trying to do is trying to like do more prompts and be at least address sort of a looming question or concern of things that I just sort of see. And I have people, mainly just my assistant sort of like helping me come up with different prompts and stuff for each episode to give people just things to start thinking about and just stuff to talk to. And one of the things is that we're sort of coming up with is just the idea of just what does it look like to just like build your own world and not like, a story, but just sort of we all sort of have our own perspectives. How can we and our worldview is sort of centered around our perspectives and our experiences. And often you feel like you don't have a lot of agency with it, right? And so with one of the courses that I have, which is essentially intro to world building, it's really focused on being able to create something that you have an input in, or being able to have something that you have input in. And so one of the prompts that my assistant came up with is, and I'll just end up reading it, is that many people have an idea of what they expect from the government during this crisis versus what we actually receive. And what if we could virtually build worlds that show examples of how we could better our countries during this time? And talking about pandemics or just whatever it is, like there's always stuff happening, right? There's always bad stuff happening. A world where the characters don't have to pay for the necessities they need to live. A world where black people have their own form of policing that doesn't end in assault or murder. A world where the earth isn't deprived of its natural resources solely for the purpose of making money. What would our alternate reality be under this new circumstance? And I think that, like, one shout out to her for, sort of coming up with this. and presenting it, and presenting it to me so I could like speak about it, right? But this is really a core foundation of like why people know the work that I created. I was in Portland, and I was in Portland like 5 blocks away from all the stuff that was being caught up on the news, right? You know, when, you know, Proud Boys were shooting and running over people and getting shot. That's in my neighborhood. That was right down the street from me. And then also when, you know, the feds were coming and people getting shot up, people were getting tear gassed for 100 days. Like, those were all people I know and I work with and I try to like be involved in the community with. You know, this is my people, right? And seeing how, you know, Portland has in some ways really weirdly like became this epicenter. And also, you know, the pandemic was happening. One of the things I wanted to do was see, I saw a potential, an unrelated potential, because and as I think about it was really uncharacteristic of me to use AR in this way, because I cared more about image tracking, which is sort of like you, like the paper is really the core foundational piece of the AR experience. And I went into ground plane, like world building, like world space, I guess ground plane, AR tracking. And you know, with that, what I was doing is I was saying like, what does it look like to have a space where you can put things that pertain to Black people in a space that's not going to get vandalized, it's not going to get overly policed. You could be Black in society and not have to worry about freaking racists and Proud Boys and all those people trying to mess it up, you know? Like the thing that I have always found just so insincere was that, you know, people will have no problem putting up racist monuments and then trying to ruin your livelihood for trying to speak out and do something about just the very nature of having a Confederate monument right in front of your house, especially as a Black person that pays taxes. But then have the audacity to deface, destroy, fine you for trying to put up and honor people that fell victims to the oppressive society that we are supposed to be past. Right? Like, we had a Black president, so now racism is over, and so now anything that comes after it that's oppressive, isn't really that bad because, you know, we got Obama. Be grateful. And I just saw, I was like, man, you know, what does it look like to create a space, control a space, do things at such a large scale, right? Put a skyscraper just with the, you know, put a skyscraper that's just focused on just blackness in the middle of Times Square, like anywhere. Like, you just do that. And you have a photo op for it. You just start flexing, right? Like, you have like a whole bunch of stuff you could just share with the world because we all, because of the pandemic, literally, like, there was a whole movement that was started because of a YouTube video and some pictures. Literally, it was a video and some pictures that did all this stuff. There's only so many people that actually saw what happened. Like, and so for me as an animator whose career is built on just making pictures and making videos, I saw the power of that. And not only just making pictures and making videos, but just making pictures and making videos and then just posting it on social media. That's literally how all this stuff started. And so it was like, what does it look like to do that, to empower people, not to shine light on what's oppressing people, but to empower people to continue doing the same thing, right? Like I think the beauty of the world that we live in and the Black Lives Matter movement, just as a core idea, is that Black people have always been saying the same things, right? And we could you look at an example of Colin Kaepernick and the just the many people, the many athletes, the many people that have said things and had their livelihoods taken away from them as a punishment for the things that they had to say about experiences that people were having. And I will say taken away because their livelihoods were changed because they decided to do something about something that that has plagued Black and brown people, particularly Black people, for since the ages, right? And so using a platform, how dare they use a platform that they worked hard for to gain and have access to say how they feel about certain things, right? And I won't go down the sort of convoluted pathway of, okay, well, they let domestic abuse and all that stuff. It's like, yes, I mean, yes, it's a byproduct of American society. And we could talk about how, there's a lot of social determinants that lead people to do certain things in particular demographics and how that's promoted. Yes, that is a problem, but a conversation for something else. But using a platform or developing a platform and then to empower people to create a world where they're able to express themselves and then share it and be very proud of it, right? Like I mentioned, like putting a Black Panther as skyscraper in the middle of Times Square and then taking a picture to flex on people. Like that is a level of pride that incorporates culture in a very authentic way that you can't you can't package and you can't sell as a cons you can't sell as a business to business solution. You the only way you could achieve that is if you empower people to explore an idea and build a community around that idea that empowers other people to participate in that. And so this whole idea of what would it look like to build a world and create access points that allow Black communities and Black people to have opportunities to police themselves and manifest a world where they're not being assaulted when they're supposed to be protected and served, and they're also able to exist in and be unapologetic in their existence. That stuff is really the stuff that I started to explore. I try started to combine a little bit of the comics and the entertainment part in it, but it's really that idea of what is it like to be unapologetically Black and use technology to be even more unapologetic about it. And, world building and knowing these skills, using Unity, building an app, putting it on the App Store, making a promo video about it, making a whole bunch of cool pictures, posting that on social media, getting people to try to download that app, and then they do their own stuff too. I mean, that's how TikTok blew up. Like that was the very nature of TikTok. Black people started doing cool stuff on it, and then now everybody wanted to do it. It's just that they didn't own the platform and they would get shadow banned and all that stuff. But now, what does it look like for Black people to make their own stuff without having to know how to build an app? They just have the idea and they know how to use the tools, and then they're putting stuff out there, and other people are participating in it, right? If there's a lot more Black people doing that, getting on app stores and building world access points to worlds that speak to them and speak to the people like them, then that changes the whole market. I mean, at that point, Apple may end up changing their whole freaking App Store model because more Black people were on there. That's pretty much how things change, right? I always think about this joke of how do you get stricter gun control? Well, you give black people guns. That's how it is. And if you don't believe me, just look at all the stuff that happened once the Black Panthers started rolling up with shotguns. They were legal gun owners. They had guns. They couldn't take them away. They just overregulate them then. And so it's like, what would it look like? How will app stores change if more there are more black people on that had apps? How would the whole landscape change if black people knew how to were making more apps and they were getting on more app stores? Imagine having a whole page on your iPhone of just apps that black people made. Like that's what would that even look like? I bet you right now, like you probably wouldn't be able to fill up a whole page on your iPhone just with black apps from black people. Like that would just be crazy. And then what would it look like to have a whole page full of apps that were black AR apps or black VR apps, black XR apps, where each one is a new portal to an immersive black experience. Because obviously, black people aren't a monolith, right? And so, like, what does it look like to have all these little portals on your phone, in your pocket, that you walk around with, that you could jump into a new black world, Afrofuturistic world created by black people for people to experience, to expose them to new ways of culture and new ways of thinking, new experiences. I mean, you could do that now. I mean, they could all be created. And so, for me, making courses and stuff to give people an entry point to even just think that that is remotely possible. I just feel very fortunate to just have the opportunity to find support to do that. And so now it's like, now that these courses are out, now that things are available, now it's just a matter of, planting seeds and giving people opportunities to say, okay, now here's this thing that you have. You could use this to make this, 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 and this. Which one do you want to make first? Not what are you going to make, but which thing are you going to make first? I think that's really empowering because it puts the decision in your hands of I have so many opportunities and so many possibilities that all have a positive side. It's all on me to just see what is it that I would like to try first, and to just sort of see that as a possibility is just it's not something that I felt I've had in my 30 years of life. It's at least in on a consistent basis. And I think just being able to provide that for people, a pathway for free. I mean, like all this stuff is for free. I mean, you obviously have to like rent the course or whatever, or you just get like a Skillshare account. But really it's just your time, Like it's just your time. And so it's your time, your energy, and your dedication. You're not going to learn it overnight, but in this space, things are changing so much that like new things will come out and you'll just have to add that to the repertoire of things that are possible. And so going from a Snapchat face filter to a Spark AR lens or Instagram lens to building your own app to, working with clients. Like it all starts from this basic level of interest and a vision that you would often just have to work with. And so, got a whole bunch of prompts that I hope to explore and ideas that I want to try out. But again, I just really appreciate everybody up until this point that have been really focused on or just invested in me. So if you're interested, obviously tap in with the Patreon. patreon.com/illtopia. Tap in with Illtopia Studios, shop.illtopia.com. Tap in with all the courses and stuff that I have. And you can find that at stuckonisland.com/courses. Follow Stuck on Island, obviously, where I'm posting things. Follow the YouTube channel, just follow me on everything, just you can't go wrong with just following me on everything. That's where you'll find everything. Everything going on all the platforms. And so with that, it's been a while since I made a podcast, and so I hope to continue making more of these. Just because it's fun. I really enjoy this. It's an opportunity to just continue inspiring people. That goes beyond just sort of making a whole bunch of projects. At some point, you just kind of need to unpack the projects and be reflective on them. And as I'm getting all these new speaking engagements, I'm seeing just the power of just being able to reflect on the things that I've done to add to it. And so with that, this is I guess this is episode one of the new season of the Stucky and Augmented Reality podcast. This is the first of many of me as a Unity certified instructor, a the black AR guy that's also in medical school now, as a business owner, somebody that, is working on a patent for a new device, just an educator. And yeah, it's just, I really appreciate everybody for sticking with me, and I hope to see you next week. So with that, we out.